Attention entrepreneurs and business owners. It's time to stop working so hard, start working smart, and build a business that stands on its own.
Generate real wealth, real freedom,
and a real legacy.
Now from New York City, small business champion and business attorney, helping thousands of entrepreneurs generate hundreds of millions of dollars. Here's Nina Kaufman, and this is the Cash Out Big Podcast.
Hey there, how are you? Welcome to Cash Out Big, where our mission is to double the value of your service business so you can start generating real wealth, real freedom, and a real legacy. I'm your host, Nina Kaufman, coming to you from the heart of New York City, and I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. I was just traveling recently in Monument Valley, which is absolutely, if you've ever been out there, it's absolutely gorgeous, right on the Arizona-Utah border. And you've probably seen it. If you've ever watched a John Wayne film or a Yosemite Sam cartoon, hey, no judgments. You'll see the two mittens and the buttes, and it's just this gorgeous sandstone color and huge, huge expanse of sky. So I was out there for about a week, and I got the chance to do some hiking while I was out there. Hiking is a great metaphor for the entrepreneurial journey. If you're going to go on a hike and you know it's a two-hour hike and checkout is at 11 o'clock in the morning, well, if you're starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, you're going to rush, aren't you? Because you have to get through it. You got to get back to your room. You got to finish packing. You got to check out. You don't want any penalties. You don't want any room, extra day room fees. But if you start at 7 o'clock in the morning, well, you can take your time, can't you? You can enjoy the scenery, take photos, stop, look around. In fact, at one point along the path, someone had scraped into the dirt, look up, because it's so easy just to keep your head down on the path. But when you look up, my God, the view is absolutely magnificent. And if you're planning to hike tomorrow, well, then you have a lot of options at your disposal, including what time are you planning to wake up? So let me ask you, when it comes to growing and building your business so that it's either sellable or at the very least you can get it off your shoulders, when do you plan to wake up? Are you going to wait until it's 11 o'clock in the morning and you absolutely have to check out, at which point everything's a rush? Or are you going to be able to take your time and put the right things in place? And one of the things we want to put in place that we're going to talk about today with our guest is making sure that your company has a reputation that can stand on its own two feet and isn't entwined with yours. So to get our guest tips, make sure you're on our list for the executive summary, which comes out every week at businessexponential.com. Sign up there to get on the list. I'm happy to have Sherry Goldman of Goldman Communications Group on the show. I know Sherry personally, and one of the things that I'm impressed with, but also find so useful about her background is that she's worked with both major corporations as well as small businesses. And why is that useful? Because when you work with a large corporation and you have a whole team, you really have an opportunity to see best practices in action. And then by working with small companies, she's also been able to distill that to see how can smaller organizations work lean and, but also hone their business reputation, get the word out, and do so in a way that's really streamlined and in line with their budget. And that's why we're really delighted to have Sherry here on Cash Out Big today. Sherry, thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure, Nina. Thank you for having me.
I'm really looking forward to this conversation because there are a lot of small businesses out there where the business owner is the head of the company and they've sort of become synonymous with the business. But if you want to cash out big, you've got to find a way to separate yourself, don't you?
Absolutely. And entrepreneurial business owners, particularly service business owners and female business owners, are notoriously guilty of that because we started our business and the only thing we had to quote-unquote sell is our reputation and our know-how and our smarts. But we can't separate ourselves. And you have to start to say, it's a baby I've given birth to. It's now a separate entity. In my business, we talk about perception being reality. So we have to start with saying, how do you start to create the perception that your company is more than just you, even if it is just you?
Okay, so let's backtrack just a half step. How do we evaluate whether or not our reputation is really kind of entwined and enmeshed with our business reputation? Are there certain things that we see as benchmarks to know, we need a little more separation here?
Well, and that's a good question. So let's start with some definitions of brand is what you say about yourself. But the word reputation is actually how you're perceived by others. And it's impacted by influencers or influences, word of mouth. And obviously the goal of any successful business is to have the reputation match for your business what you think your brand is, what you want it to be. So do a little bit of analysis, a little bit of market research, a little bit of in-depth thinking. When people talk about your business, do they talk about, oh, Nina's a nice person, or Nina's smart, or are they talking about it in the sense of it's business? Are they talking about it in the sense of maybe the clients that you have based upon your industry? Are they talking about it as you are an established company versus, oh, somebody just started to do this in their basement? and still, you know, and a lot of us work from home, so there's nothing wrong with working in the basement. But the answer is nobody needs to know that because everybody perceives that to mean that you're smaller or not as professional as you actually are.
Okay. So when we're doing that kind of evaluation or due diligence or checking out, what sorts of things, are there particular social platforms or other ways that we can see where people or, you know, your top three, where do people comment about us?
You know, social media is definitely a piece of the puzzle these days. But you can start with Google. Google yourself. Google your company name and see if your company name is coming up with something other than just your food posts from Twitter.
My ham sandwich? Are you kidding?
Exactly. Well, you know, one of the things I want to talk about down the road in this podcast is how you need to separate yourself and create a presence of you different from your company. But Google yourself. The first thing, everybody should Google themselves every couple of months and see what comes up for their name, but also Google your company name. Your company name should come up for those kinds of searches.
Okay. So you segue us into a really nice point where, all right, I'm Googling myself and I see that I and the services that I/my company offer come up. They're kind of intertwined. So how do I start to make that separation?
Okay. So then we're going to talk about how to market it and how to market and present your company as a separate entity from yourself. You being the key employee, you being the founder, you could be the only employee.
Sure.
So start with, most companies now have a website. Make sure your website positions your company and then has the bio of you as the founder. But the pages and content talk about the name of the company. So my company, for example, my website will say Goldman Communications Group, but Sherry did this.
Okay.
It doesn't separate itself. Yours would be Ask the Business Lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Does this. Nina is X, Y, and Z, and here's her credentials. So make sure as you start to talk about it, you talk about your company in the third person. And that you are the key employee.
Okay, great. So that way, as you bring others into the team, there's an opportunity to talk about them as well and how they support the overall work of the business overall.
Absolutely. And the team doesn't have to be employees per se. Many people work on a virtual model and work with consultants.
Right.
And they are part of your team. So it's not uncommon for a very successful business to have one employee. But a team of strategic partners that they bring in.
Okay.
Well, you want to start talking about it in the third person and you, so it's not just you.
Right. So if you're in a situation where, as the owner, you are the key employee, and you are out there and visible and doing things, how do people strike the balance between, let's show Sherry at an awards ceremony, let's show Sherry on television, Sherry doing a podcast. So how do you strike the balance between it looking too much like it's all about the owner and yet highlighting the fact that the owner as the key employee is actually doing some wonderful things to move the company forward?
And that's going to be in the tone of voice.
Okay.
So if you're talking about social media and you have a Facebook page, you should have a Facebook page for yourself, obviously, and you post your family photos and your food and your pets and your politics and all of that. But you have a company page. And the company page would refer to, in my sense, it says, our Sherry Goldman is doing this. And, you know, as the company president, I am going to be out there doing the podcast, and my company would be proud of me, but it's definitely written in the third person. And as posts happen, if you can show in the context of photos, pictures speak 1,000 words, with other people, link, connections, strategic partners, it creates a presence that you're out there and you're connected with people. And refer to yourself always in the royal we. So we are having a busy day today, and our Sherry Goldman is doing this. Your company is having a busy day, and our Nina is doing X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
But the perception people can say is, oh, there's a lot of people buzzing around, but here's what Nina's doing.
All right, great, because I'm taking copious notes while you're talking about this. That's great. And so what if you, again, if you only have a small team, or right now you're maybe solo with a handful of outsourced providers, how can you start to take those next steps to shift that perception when for right now, so many people know you as your business and the business is you?
I think it's a shift that happens over time, but it's a relatively manageable shift, particularly with the popularity and accessibility of social media and online media. Because it's easy enough to set up the separate Facebook page now and the separate Twitter account now and start having a conversation online. Start posting that and start encouraging people on Facebook to like you. Start following people in your industry. So you're a lawyer, you would follow legal trades for your business thing, but you might not follow them for your personal account. And
okay.
If you could start tagging people in certain posts and start putting links in your business, you start to create a different network and a platform. Certainly, if you post something on your company page, you can then share it on your personal page to help create the perception. But the company's a separate thing, and start talking about it as that child that you've given birth to.
Interesting. And when it comes to LinkedIn, is there a difference in terms of the approach there versus Facebook?
LinkedIn is thought of as the professional platform.
Mm-hmm.
So LinkedIn is all about business people. So you're probably not going to have a company page there per se, because the company page is just going to say who you are and how many employees you have. So there you're posting as an employee. But in Twitter and Facebook, and those kinds of things, you want to have separate entities. And the other thing I want to say is, you know, we're all busy doing a lot of things during the day in our industries, but we take for granted. So you may think it's nothing to go to a networking meeting in the morning, or you may think it's nothing to go to an industry conference in the afternoon or a seminar, but your prospective clients, your current clients, will think that's very important and connected. So as business owners, we tend not to toot our own horns, so to speak, particularly service business owners.
Right.
But those are the kinds of things you need to post, because that gives the perception you're connected, you're out and about, your company's connected, it's out and about. And makes it almost gives the illusion, perception being reality, that you're actually busier and bigger than you actually are.
Okay.
And your current clients may not know what you're doing. Because depending upon the business you're in, you either deal with them for a project or we deal with them for an ongoing relationship, but they don't know all the other things you're doing. So it's a real platform to share with them or prospective clients or networkers all the things that you have going on.
Okay. And is there a way to develop a system for doing this? If you had, let's say, the top three things that someone could put into place right now and start doing on a regular basis or putting into their calendar, what things have you found and your clients found to be really effective in making that shift?
I mean, I would say everybody, if you have a company, should set up a Facebook and a Twitter account that are separate. And they're easy enough to monitor, and you can post even once a week. But start to set up that presence and start linking.
Okay, so that I'm clear about Twitter, because I'm asking for myself as well. Does that mean having a Twitter handle that is not my name?
You know what? I actually use one. I will say that I'm guilty of that, but I only pretty much tweet business things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the harder part that entrepreneurs have, or women is they blur the lines.
Ah, talk a little more about that.
Well, you know what? You can tweet about your kid's soccer game one day, 1 minute, and then a business thing the next to the same audience. Do you have different lists that you can tweet at? even from the same account. You need to have, when we all talk about business, we talk about segmenting the audiences. Who do you need to talk to and what do you need to tell them? And not every audience needs to hear the same thing. So your friend audience needs to hear a different thing than the media, whether it would be people that, for your sake, that cover legal issues in New York or legal journals, trade publications. They need different things. So you want to talk to them with different messages, which is why, ideally, a separate page, a separate account is helpful.
Okay.
But you certainly want to make sure you're talking the right audience to the right thing so they listen.
Terrific. And thinking about business reputation, also being mindful of what other people are saying about us, as we look to see, gee, does our personal reputation merge with our business reputation? What other things should we be looking for to make sure we're not getting bad mouths? Because that's one of the things that can really harm our ability to grow and ultimately sell, which is knowing that there's bad press out there.
Okay, so a few things. Number one, we talked about Googling yourself. Set up a Google alert. So any time that your name comes up and or your company name comes up, you'll know about it. Set up a Google alert for your biggest competitor and monitor what the media is saying about them. So you want to know you're being part of that conversation. And in online media, Twitter and Facebook, follow those key influencers that are going to talk about things in your industry, reputation or trends, good or bad. It could be an industry organization. It could be a beat reporter at a newspaper. It could be the head, the editors or the assistant editors at the industry trade journals you follow. It could be somebody from a local chamber of commerce, depending upon where your business is. But stay in the conversation and be listening. And I think most of us are so busy running, we're not listening. And many people who even use social media, they just use it to throw things out. But the real benefit of social media is to listen and to have a conversation eventually.
Okay. So as we're thinking about our companies and how best to listen, I mean, again, social media can be so big, so broad, and a complete time suck.
If totally. We let it. Trust me, I know.
It is so easy and so addictive to, you know, how you get caught up into other people's Facebook pages and Twitter feeds and LinkedIn.
But that's why you want to set it up separately for your company so you can deal with your friends at night, but during the day, you can just check in on certain businesses.
Right. But also just thinking about it just from the business aspect to it, which can also, as Betty Friedan said about housework, fill the time, band to fill the time available. That's what she said. What are some of the simple and targeted things that we can do as business owners?
Take 15 minutes in the morning and kind of read in and see what's going on.
Okay.
And then spend 15 minutes at the end of the day kind of checking in.
Okay.
I would say that. And, you know, make it your business to spend half an hour a week kind of thinking about what kind of post you want to put out or something like that. So it's a manageable tiny chunk of time that will go far.
Okay. So it's like an editorial calendar in a way, if there are different thoughts we have or planning that in advance?
Certainly. There are certain things. If you know what's coming up on your calendar for the next month, you can almost pre-write those tweets and those posts and then just put them up.
Mm-hmm.
So make your own editorial calendar.
Right. So can you give me an example of perhaps a service business or a professional business that you've worked with that started with, let's say, no social media reputation management system and actually put things in place that really serve them? Just so we can see what that looks like.
Sure. Well, we do it for a bunch of companies. Listen, I have one of my largest clients is Municipal Credit Union, and they only went online about a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they were kind of nervous about it, and part of it is they're in a 24/7 business. You have to make sure someone's listening. But coming on, this is their 100th anniversary year, they planned a whole thing so they'll post would track a timeline over 100 years. And also how to sell and have conversations with people, whether they're selling auto loans or mortgages. But when they're online now, they get people going, well, the ATM's not working. And you have to respond and say, yes, I'm listening. We're jumping on that. Smaller businesses have less of that issue per se. But the one thing is you want to make sure, which is why I say check in for 15 minutes at the end of the day, if someone does talk to you online, you want to be responsive because there is an expectation that you're going to respond.
And from some of the larger companies you've worked with, are there some best practices that smaller businesses can put into place that may not have the large staff to monitor in the same way, but as they grow and think about getting larger, they can start to integrate?
Keep it simple. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. It doesn't have to be gorgeous with graphics. It has to be timely. It has to be smart. If you are a nutritionist and everyone's heading into the July 4th weekend, a tweet about how to stay on your diet over the holiday, or don't fret if you had that extra mojito.
Oh, yeah.
July 4th barbecue. How to jump back in. Be timely. Be current. Be insightful. The one thing I talk about with clients when I talk about public publicity is how do you create news that only comes from you? So be thoughtful. Be opinionated. I don't want to say opinionated, but have a point of view.
That's a really interesting point. So how do you hone in on a point of view wanting to be independent? I mean, as a company, to take a stand, because when you are just sort of melding into the background, nobody notices, and yet not be opinionated and offensive. How do you strike that balance?
A point of view doesn't have to be opinionated and offensive. It can be insightful. For example, if you are a matrimonial attorney, you can say, just saw that 35% of the prenups we've done in the last year were for same-sex couples.
Mm-hmm.
Probably fact that they only got from you. But, that's very interesting.
Okay, so it's in a way stating a fact without coming out with an opinion about it.
Yes. Or if there were new legislation when the Supreme Court made a ruling about that, you can say, you know, just heard about the Supreme Court saying, you know, same-sex marriages are now legal in 50 states. You know, that's already 35% of our business. We expect it to be higher.
Okay.
Tying in with something legal, you're not saying I agree with it or disagree with it, but you're taking something and leveraging it.
Okay.
Or did you know that same-sex couples have the same kind of issues that, not, you know, heterosexual couples have? And it doesn't have to be that. It could be child support. It could be yours. Could be, you know, business that you talk about. I know you do business and corporations and all kinds of things like that. So statistics on female-owned businesses, businesses that might have started in Brooklyn, all kinds of tidbits of news, the things that we all take for granted because we do it day in and day out and we think it's no big deal, are really very interesting to people who don't do what you do day in and day out.
Right. It's not new or news to us, but it's certainly new to other people who aren't.
Yeah, and that it shows that you're smart. It shows that your company is on top of things.
Okay. And as we start to close, we've been talking about social media and our website as a way of creating a company persona and weaning off of the personal persona. What are some of the other tools and tactics? I mean, how do things like advertising or public relations get integrated into that?
Well, okay. Advertising is when you're paying for the space and saying what you want, and that obviously is expensive. Public relations is more about creating relationships. So it's kind of, again, how you write it. If you had a blog, per se, a great way to make your company appear larger than just you is ask one of your clients or colleagues to write a guest blog so you have more names. Repost articles from industry or local publications.
Right.
If you go to a Chamber of Commerce event, take photos and show, I'm here with my strategic partner, Andrea. I'm here with my strategic partner, Nina.
Okay.
Create a visual that's bigger than you.
Okay. So interesting. So you just said, I'm here with my strategic partner, Andrea or Nina. Does one say, I'm here with my strategic partner, or is it, hey, ABC company is here with strategic partner XYZ.
Depends upon where you're putting it. If it was on my Facebook page, I'd say our Sherry Goldman is here with our strategic partner, Andrea or Nina.
Okay.
The tone of voice is going to help you decide if it's we when it's for your company, it's I if it's you personally. If you were writing a blog post, it's from you. But if it's on your social media, it's we.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
And think about those partnerships and think about creating those relationships, because those people will help spread your word about your company, and they'll do the work of your marketing team. The ready your company's perception, your perception of your company is larger.
Right. And any other tips or things that we should be thinking about, considering, maybe hiring people for, as we want to build that presence for the company that's larger than just us?
I mean, I'm in public relations, marketing, communications, so I think everybody should have some kind of marketing, communications, public relations assistance, because it is the thing that people, it gets relegated to the bottom of the list when you're busy running your company. It's the thing that says, you know, we've done without it, we've done without it, we've done without it, I need to do what I do. I need to practice law, I need to practice accounting, I need to, you know, run my nutrition business. So we're our... And I'm guilty. I'm finally redoing my website. Finally. I am the shoemaker's child, so I give great advice. And I finally hired someone to do it, because I am as guilty as charged, too. It's the thing that tends to fall at the bottom of the list. And as also business entrepreneurs, learn to brag and boast. Learn to tell the world, stand on the rooftop and say what a good job you're doing, that you just got a new client, that you just won a new case, that you just helped somebody turn their life around. Brag and boast. Men do it. Large companies do it. We don't do it.
Right. Although we do need to be sure to get permission from the client.
Absolutely. But if you can't, then maybe you can do it without mentioning them. For example, we represented a fashion clothing company that did X, Y, and Z without giving a name.
Right. Terrific. So I'm curious, what is it being the shoemaker's child that finally got you to say, let me redo this website to enhance the reputation?
I think I got embarrassed because it doesn't represent me well. And it just got to the point where it's a bad business strategy. I think it's now hurting me.
Interesting. And was there a particular... incident?
Part of it was Google's shift. No, you know, part of it was Google's shift now that all websites need to be responsive and the whole style has changed. And mine is kind of the older hard-coded style. So I, in order to change content, it's very difficult. I also want to start a blog online. I've got many pieces and articles and I don't have a place to post them online. I have my Facebook page, I have my Twitter, but I don't have a place where they live in perpetuity.
Okay.
So I wanted to have a place for that.
Right. Wonderful. Well, so, you know, wonderful to hear that, you know, the inner workings of the marketing and communications expert thinking about her own marketing and communications.
Finally, right?
But also just some great and simple and handy tips for starting to make that distinction, so that as we're creating companies that ultimately we can sell, that the company really starts to have its own perception, its own reputation, and making more of that distinction, because the more closely entwined we are with the company, the more difficult it is.
That's right. So if you start with the Google and nothing comes up with your company name, start setting up some pages online so things will start to come up. Because anyone who's going to buy your company is going to say, is there anything under the company name?
Okay, terrific.
So start creating that presence and start creating that conversation so that your company name is there, so it will start to appear to be there.
Excellent. Well, Sherry, some wonderful insights and really helpful and practical tips. So thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for tuning in and listening to Cash Out Big. Are you ready to have your service business generate real wealth, real freedom, and a real legacy? Then make sure you're on our list to get our executive summary. Go to businessexponential.com. These are the top tips from each episode you can put into action right away. A summary of the highlights you've just heard. And if you need to listen in at a later time, you can at least see and read real quickly what we're doing and get the highlights. Just go to businessexponential.com and get signed up. Go there now, and we'll see you on the next episode of Cash Out Big.